Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, St. Patrick's Day, a day that we definitely should get in touch with our friends, and we do. And in our case, we are going to get in touch with Áine Sheridan, tells me he's actually on the line. John Fitzpatrick, the proprietor, hotelier, philanthropist, owner of Fitzpatrick Hotel Group. And John, you're very welcome.
Adrian, how are you? And a happy St. Patrick's Day to you and all your listeners. What a great day to be back again.
And just first of all, again, as I say, you're very welcome. But I want to rush to experience of, we know that a lot of hotels that used to be around are not anymore because of the 2 years of the pandemic. How... if we go back to that 2 years when we could not believe what was happening, you were all geared, and the hotels were geared for St. Patrick's Day, for the St. Patrick season there. Can you bring us back to that period, the lead up to St. Patrick's Day, and how did you handle it?
Well, look, exactly. We were all there. If you think of it, we were all in Washington. I think it was probably March 14th or 15th, and having the Ireland Fund dinner, and the Taoiseach had arrived for the celebrations. And before the end of that night, there was an announcement from the White House to say that there was international shutdown and we were locking down. So, you know, there was a mass exit the next morning. I flew back to New York, and we could see our reservations falling off the charts, and what went to be a really busy usual, normal St. Patrick's Day was a very black day indeed, very dark. I think there was nobody in the bar, everything was shut down. So it was 2 years of two Paddy's Days of very quiet days. But thank God, you know, we've come through it, and the way things are moving at the moment this morning is just, they've been arriving for the last few days. The Aer Lingus flights have been full, yeah, and people are coming in, and there's every excuse, whatever an excuse to celebrate St. Patrick's Day is happening now, and please God, we're going to have a very busy day. So we're looking forward to it.
You're going to have a busy week.
busy weekend.
Yeah, John. Yeah, just want I want to bring you back, and perhaps let our listeners know, you know, that if we go back to, you have actually been involved for more than 40 years. As a hotelier, and you know, so we go back to Fitzpatrick Hotel in Ireland, and you know, the terrific discovery of a hotel that was built actually, I believe, around 1740, the Fitzpatrick Hotel.
Castle.
And the Fitzpatrick Castle Hotel. Now, you grew up pretty much, not since 1740, but when your mom and dad, you know, purchased that magnificent hotel, which is still in the family, that was a different time. Your father, Paddy, was indeed a builder, an architect, or somebody who is... Were you old enough to know when that hotel was being taken over, which needed obviously a lot of updating and renovations? How did your mother react to that, the great lady that she was?
Yeah, no, I do remember it very well. We were all very young at the time, and Dad had been working for PV Doyle, a great hotel group, the Doyle Group. And I remember him coming back and telling us that he had bought this, you know, it was kind of a derelict, kind of a bed and breakfast place at the top of Killiney Hill, and it was called Killiney Castle. And he said, look, we're going to, and I remember meeting us with Mum, and he drove us up. And he said, we're going to convert this into a hotel. Now, at that stage, there was 50 rooms, but the rooms were so small that he had knocked two rooms into one. So we were down to 25 rooms. And so he started that in 1970. I remember as a young kid running through it after school in the evenings, because he worked day and night, as well as Mum did. You know, Dad was a great builder. Yeah. My mum was the interior designer, and she wouldn't let him pick anything, but so she had to do all the interior stuff. So I remember it opening up, and look, it was great days because, you know, it was exciting. You know, it was an old castle dating back to 1741, and as my father being a loved building, he kept knocking walls down and finding secret passageways and big fireplaces, and he kept digging it. But we eventually got it open in, I think it was June of 1970. And, you know, Dad was always great at promoting tourism in the United States. And, you know, in the end, that's where we ended up here. But he used to travel a lot to get the American travelers and the tourists to come in, because that's where, you know, they were spending big money in those days, and they'd love to come and see Ireland and everything. So he traveled for that. And then, but also the local business, and, you know, are the local business is more important than anything, because even here in New York, we started that way, that you know, it's your local business, sure, that keeps you 7 days a week. So he developed a great business, and we all grew up in it. And as we finished school or during school, to end pocket money, we'd end up, you know, either cutting the grass or washing the dishes or working in the bars as we got older. And so it was part of the family. I mean, that hotel, and I'm glad my sister still owns it and runs it and is as proud now as when Dad opened it back in 1970. It's a great, great history.
Well, if we fast forward to 1991, we could not believe ourselves that, number one, not everybody knew that there wasn't a single solitary Irish-owned hotel in New York, and indeed for that matter, there were very few across the United States. And I met your dad, you, your mom, for the first time, and, you know, your father says, we're opening, you know, a few blocks away, we were in Madison Avenue, and we're opening a hotel there, and I said, oh my God. And it turned out to be a jewel of hotels, and still is in New York City. It's a luxury hotel, but still a very, very moderately priced, great service hotel, Fitzpatrick Manhattan Hotel. And again, that was in 1990, Christmas. 1991.
Yeah, I remember we bought it in June of 1990. Now Christmas came, and I remember we tried to get it opened. And look, I came over to live in the place where we were renovating it. But I think the funny thing, looking back on it, we finally opened it, as you said, the first Irish hotel, but we'd no liquor license. So we were all laughing. Well, I wasn't laughing at the time, but looking back on it, how could you have an Irish hotel without a bar in it? So, but we eventually got, I think, through all, you know, I think there was the support of the Irish, not just of the Irish coming over, but the Irish here, like yourselves.
Absolutely.
And Neil O'Dowd and all. I remember meeting and the Trish Harties. You know, you rallied around us. And, you know, that's what I find as we go forward. You know, when any Irish person comes to Ireland, we always seem to stick together. And, you know, as they've come over the years, if I've known people open bars and restaurants, and, you know, if they're coming from Ireland, we all gather around and we try and,
absolutely,
look, just make us all, it's all family, and we all try and help each other. So I think that's one thing that got us off the ground. We wouldn't have been here today without the help we got from everybody, the Irish-Americans that were over here at the time. They got behind us and got excited as we did about opening, and that's what made Fitzpatrick's so successful, you know.
And then, well, you know, you have two hotels. The hotel, your second hotel, is at Grand Central, the busiest place in New York City, the best known area of New York City. And that was a bold kind of a move. Excuse me, that was a bold move there. John Fitzpatrick, my guest, to take on that. You know?
Yeah. You know, it was funny because we had the Manhattan one opened, and we never thought we'd be opening a second one. But look, the opportunity came. There was a developer who had just a venture capital who had bought, and then didn't realize, you know, he hadn't got anyone to run, and he came to me. And normally we don't kind of like having partners because he wanted to do it on their own, but we took this on. And again, it was an old office building, but what I loved about the building was it was originally a hotel in the early 40s. And when you stripped it out, you could see some of the old bathrooms. And, you know, at that stage, we decided to renovate it. And yeah, 44th Street wasn't the most, you know, favorable street because it was a dead end street and there was a lot, you know, there was a homeless shelter down the road. And my father came over to me and he said, "What the hell are you doing here? And is it going to work?" And I said, "Look, it's New York. It's a great location." And it just developed into a really, and being so close to Grand Central Station anyway, I mean, everybody stops off here on the way home, either in for a quick drink or something to eat. And it's one of the busiest cross streets now. Now it's developed and there's so many restaurants on their street and it's become a bit of a neighborhood. So yeah, we've been very lucky with that as well, you know.
And of course it is, you know, your wheel trapper pub there. Over the last 2 years, you know, it was like a she bean in the sense that you were able to, of course, and continue to have outdoor dining there, which is a great plus.
A very good point, Adrian, because when we, you know, when the pandemic hit, we had to decide, we had to shut one of them. We couldn't keep both open, and we decided to keep Grand Central. And none of us knew at the beginning of this pandemic about how valuable outdoor space was and eating outside. And, you know, nobody knew how you picked up COVID in the early stages, and there was a touch or was it going airborne. So for us to have the outdoor space, we really didn't realize, and we decided to keep that open. But that really worked out well because for, you know, 12 months, 24 months, we were able to keep it open day and night because of the heaters out there. And we also kept it open, too, because we had the Aer Lingus crew staying here at the time, and they're still with us. So we didn't want to kick them out. So we decided it worked out well for us. And you know what? It's nothing else. It just kept the brand going, because to see one hotel close, especially the one we opened in 1990, that's the first one.
Yes.
You know, but thank God we got through it, and then we were able to open Manhattan again on 57th Street last April, just after Paddy's Day. So
yeah,
we had two quiet Paddy's Days. So it's so nice now, you know, yesterday and last night, to be able to walk through it and see it packed again.
Fantastic.
And excitement just to hear voices. And you know, so look, we're very lucky to be where we are, but thank God we all came through it.
Okay. I had mentioned in our introduction here, your philanthropy, which again is of great note. And the philanthropy may start with a very personal family golf outing established, I don't know how many years ago it is now, but it has raised an enormous amount of money, which supports charities in Ireland. You have the Carmelia Centre and Barrettstown. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, look, this is something I decided to when my mum passed away, because, you know, in the early days, as I said, she was a big part of the success. It wasn't all dad. And then she just, you know, died suddenly. And we decided, look, we got to keep her, you know, her name there. And let everyone. So I decided, let's open a memorial fund. And I had no idea what I was going to do with it. Again, it's probably a little, I said this before, selfish, just wanted her name to be remembered. But I decided we've got to do something with it. And when we opened it and got it going and got it running, the memorial fund, we got such great support for different charities, Cormelia, as you mentioned, Barrettstown, but also for the Irish centres over here. We try to leave some of the money here as well, not just raise it here and bring it back to Ireland. I've always said, look, we got to leave some here for the Irish here in New York. And just, again, great support from all my suppliers, my customers. And we've raised over 4.5 million so far. And we're, you know, sitting here the other day just getting ready now for the 28th annual Edna and Paddy Fitzpatrick Memorial. And
God,
again,
that's 28. You know, yeah, you have to be much older than I thought you were. You
know, I was only 14 when we started, so I'm not so bad.
Okay. Might we say, friends, that there's an upcoming. What is the, again, so this makes it what year?
28th year,
annual,
you know.
Okay, and it's the Paddy and Edna Fitzpatrick 28th golf outing. But you know, as I Just to let people know, because we could go on for quite a bit today, but you have to keep your eye on things. And I'm in no hurry at all, sure, I'm sitting here. But I do want to know that it's the Paddy and Athna Fitzpatrick golf outing. And
yep,
every penny of the money raised, indeed, again, with the millions you've raised so far, is most of it indeed spent in Ireland. But it's just another example of the philanthropy of the Fitzpatrick family. And also, John, as when Loretta Brennan Glucksman was stepping down as chair of the American Ireland Fund, you were there. I don't know if anybody asked you. I think they told you to take this over. And but either way, a very distinguished career, and we're happy on this St. Patrick's Day to, again, our affiliation and our friendship goes back many, many decades at this stage of the game, now that you're 40 years, you know. Anyway, I want to, you know, thanks and wish you lots of luck. And as I say, if there is an Irish person in town for this week who's not staying in a Fitzpatrick hotel here, well, that means they got shut out. So
no, I just want to say, listen, to Anya, yourself, and all of you, be a great support. But to our customers and the Irish over here, Fitzpatrick's wouldn't be here without them. So let's all have a really happy St. Patrick's Day, and thank God we're all here to be able to celebrate.
Absolutely. Okay, good luck. And again,
thanks,
glad everything is back.
Soon.
And
thanks,
friends, there's the John Fitzpatrick, proprietor of the Fitzpatrick Hotel Group, a philanthropist and somebody indeed who, and I said that only half in fun and half in earnest, that if you don't meet whoever you were supposed to meet in Fitzpatrick's in New York, it's because the line is going around the block. And friends, you are listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, our 52nd St. Patrick's Day program.